challenge here from God's Word. One that we heard this week. I'm thankful for the opportunity to get to go to camp, and I get super nervous going to camp. Not because I haven't gone to camp before. I've gone to camp since I was like four. So it's not the camp that makes me nervous. It's the fact that I'm taking your kids. And I don't mean that facetiously, sarcastically. Now having kids, I understand what that means. You're entrusting your kid to somebody else. And so thank you for that trust. And we don't take it lightly. And we want to steward it well. And to say this year at camp, some camps, the years just seem a little different. You know, the dynamic's a little different and stuff like that with different people going and things like that. And that happens. But it was, in some ways, it was a fight this year. There was different things obviously going on. And it was because the Lord wanted to do a great work in our hearts. But as much as he wanted to do a great work, there was an adversary who wanted to fight against it. And so we seen, as was even mentioned, Miss Michelle mentioned some of it, but there was some spiritual battle going on, and we are thankful that in many ways the Lord was able to do a great work because people surrendered. He always wants to work. It's just whether we let him or not. And so exciting. One thing I would like to say about the boys that went, the three of them, it was even right from the get-go. By day one, they had committed that when the Lord spoke to them, they were going to respond. And every service, they just went forward and did business with the Lord. And I'm proud of them for that. But I told them, you got to stay that way. Stay that way for sure. And that's a good thing for all of us to be reminded. That when the Lord speaks, it's up to us to respond, and we should. And so, Esther chapter number 3, again, just a quick challenge that we've heard this week to help us as well and to kind of give you a taste, a little bit of what we've learned. As was mentioned, Brother King, in all of his lessons, went through the book of Esther and was just bringing out highlights, and I'm not going to preach the whole book. Can't do it. You would all be crying, let my people go, for sure. But at the same time, just something here that was brought out that's a good help to us. And if you'll remember just a couple quick characters, remember King Ahasuerus is the king. And if you remember him, and then Haman was a wicked advisor, right? A wicked advisor that was full of pride and arrogance and wanted to cuddle up to the king because I think truly he wanted to be king and he liked position, he liked authority, and yet in all the wrong ways, for sure. We understand that. And if I remind you of Mordecai, he was Esther's uncle that had actually raised Esther. And he had, at one point, God used him to save the king from an assassination attempt, and it seemed like he had been forgotten. Now, he just did what was right, and yet it seemed like he was completely forgotten. And of course, we understand Esther, that through a whole series of events, that she would become queen. And as the famous verse in the book of Esther, it has reminded us, for such a time as this, that it was all in God's timing, that he was bringing things to pass, and he was doing a great work. And so I know that's very quick and that, but as we look at here, I just want to point out in Esther chapter 3, verse 7, that's where we'll start reading. The Bible says this, in the first month, that is the month Nisan, in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, they cast pur, that is the lot, before Haman from day to day and from month to month, to the 12th month, that is, the month Adar. And Haman said unto King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom, and their laws are diverse from all people. Neither keep they the king's laws, therefore it is not for the king's profit to suffer them. If it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have the charge of the business to bring it into the king's treasuries. And the king took his ring from his hand and gave it unto Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the Jews' enemy. And the king said unto Haman, the silver is given to thee, the people also, to do with them as it seemeth good to thee. And what we find is that this was the law. And ultimately, Haman packaged it in a certain way. He said, king, you need to make a law that this group of people, that we need to be able to destroy them because they do things differently. And we understand that Haman was talking about the Jews. And he's like, we need you to make a law. And again, he packaged them with half-truths and all sorts of presentation to King Ahasuerus. But what we find is ultimately that it was placed in the law, that ultimately there was going to come a point where it was free game to kill the Jews. And we understand again through the story that that was why that God had brought Esther for such a time as this, to save the Jews and doing a great work here. But what I want to point out from this passage here is that there was a decree that was given. It was written into law. And we understand from the laws of the Medes and the Persians was that once it was in law, you couldn't take it back. There was no appeal. There was no, let me take that back. Once it was in law, it was the law, never to be changed. And we see that this decree was made. And so it seemed hopeless, right? But again, God was doing a great work. And if we'll turn over to chapter number 8, we'll read a few verses here. We'll begin reading in verse number 7. Let's start there. Then the king Ahasuerus said unto Esther the queen and to Mordecai the Jew, behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and him they have hanged upon the gallows because he laid his hand upon the Jews. So let me just suffice this to say this. If I can remind you that ultimately Haman's plan came out of what was really going on, right? And God made it to light. And so this wicked advisor of Haman, it was made clear that what he really wanted was he was so puffed up in pride and arrogance that he wanted to just wipe the Jews off the face of the earth in the 127 provinces. But he wanted to kill him. And it was made very clear to the king that this is what the plan was. And so then it was made clear that that was what was happening. And so it turned out then Haman had ultimately made some gallows to hang Mordecai on, and yet he was hung on him himself instead. And so the one that he was trying to get rid of then was promoted, right? And I know we're going through it quickly, but to go through it just would take, probably about a week. That's what it took to camp, right? So we won't do that, but a reminder of a few things there, okay? So now Haman is dead, and now here it is, okay? Verse number 8, write ye also for the Jews as it liketh you, in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring. For the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring, may no man reverse. Then there the king's scribes called at that time in the third month, that is the month Sivan, on the 23rd day thereof. And it was written according to all that Mordecai commanded unto the Jews and to the lieutenants, and the deputies and rulers of the provinces, which are from India unto Ethiopia, and 127 provinces, unto every province according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language, and to the Jews according to their writing and according to their language. And he wrote in the king Ahasuerus' name, and sealed it with the king's ring, and sent letters by post on horseback, and riders on mules and camels, and young dromedaries, wherein the king granted the Jews, which were in every city, to gather themselves together and to stand for their life, to destroy, to slay, and to cause to perish all the power of the people and provinces that would assault them, both little ones and women, and to take spoil of them for a prey. Upon one day in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, namely upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar, The copy of the writings for a commandment to be given in every province was published unto all people, and that the Jews should be ready against the day to avenge themselves on their enemies. So the post that rode upon mules and camels went out, being hastened and pressed on by the king's commandment. And the decree was given at Shushan the palace. And Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel of blue and white, with a great crown of gold, and with a garment of fine linen and purple. And the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad. The Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor. And in every province and in every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a good day. And many of the people of the land became Jews, for the fear of the Jews fell upon them. Now, all of that to remind us that while the old decree, the law that was settled at the beginning that said, hey, you just kill them all, that law was still on the books. It couldn't be reversed. It couldn't be taken away. But let me just remind you that there was a new decree. And the new decree was not one that, well, now the Jews can just go kill them. It was a decree of defense. That the Jews now had the decree that they could defend themselves. And here it was that the two contradictory laws were on the books. Right? You hear stories all the time, you know, that of laws that are still in the books in communities. Right? Oh, I remember hearing in Amarillo one time. In Amarillo, Texas, in downtown at high noon, you are not allowed to have more than 120 cows traveling down Main Street. And that's still on the books. Let me just tell you, that's not a real problem. It's not a real problem anymore, right? Yeah, sure. But here it is that in this law, here of the Medes and the Persians, there was two laws. The one was a wicked decree to kill and destroy. And the new decree was for defense. Now we think about that, and here's the question. Which decree are you going to follow? Which one? You see, they're faced with the choice. This is lawful. This is on the books. We can get rid of them. Well, they can defend themselves. That's on the books as well. And it reminds us that there are two decrees, and it's this. Which one are you going to align yourself with? You have to make the choice. Every person in this kingdom had to make the choice. Which one am I going to align myself with? Which one am I going to give my allegiance to? Now we can look at it as wicked and evil and good and righteous. Sure. The old law, the new, we could look at it in many areas. But as I was thinking through this, and as this portion of Scripture was preached to us, reminding us that we do have a choice to make. Of which decree? We know that there is an enemy out there, and that he seeks to kill, steal, and destroy. And that is his plan. But yet we know that there is a King of Kings, and a Lord of Lords, who is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And the truth of the matter is, those are the two decrees. And which one will we choose? And as we finish just three verses, I'd like for us to turn to them. Let's turn to 1 Kings 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. I know these probably familiar portions of Scripture that we could recite. But as we turn to them, help us to know where they're at in our Bibles. But 1 Kings 18 is another portion of Scripture. This is what we taught in our Sunday school class this morning. And this is, again, the prophet Elijah. When he's there before all the prophets of Baal, and he's come and he asked this question. Verse number 21. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. You know what that is? They got to pick which decree. If God is God, you serve him. If Baal is Baal, serve him. You know what he's telling them? Choose. We like to have our cake and eat it too. You know what we find from the children of Israel? That was the struggle they had. They would choose the Lord sometimes. They would choose false gods sometimes. And they just went back and forth and back and forth. They flipped and they flopped. They flipped and they flopped. And here Elijah is saying, it's time to choose. Which decree? Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse number 19 and 20. The Bible says this, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Here in this passage, we're reminded of the gifts. It's time to choose. Which decree? He set before us life and blessing, death and cursing. And he even gives us the answer, right? Well, I don't know, right? I remember my dad using an illustration one time, and he would kind of talk about some of those game shows, you know. It was like, do you want door one or do you want door two? You know, which one? You know, and everybody's like, oh, pick two. And nobody knows what's behind either door, right? And so it's interesting. It's almost like this. You have a diamond ring that you know about on one side, and you have a bag of Old Roy dog food on the other side. And it's almost like this. Choose one. Oh, that's a tough choice. Really? That's a tough choice? Well, it's Old Roy. You know, that's some good dog. It's not a good dog food. That's a lot. That's 50 pounds worth of food, right? Man, wow, that's awesome. You know, it's not even Zubit zirconium? Yeah, you know it. It's the real deal. It's a real diamond. Yeah, and it's like you have to stand there. Which one are you going to choose? I don't know. Well, that's pretty silly, isn't it? Sure, but sometimes we're facing the choice that way in a silly way. Am I going to pick the Lord of life and blessing, or am I going to pick cursing and death? And many times we're standing at the point of decision saying, I don't really know which way I'm going to go. But yet, it's time to decide. I'll remind you of this in Matthew 6, that no man can serve two masters. We have to choose who our master will be. I'm reminded of this, that while you have to choose which one, you will have a master. But we have the opportunity to choose which one. And I know it's simple, I know it might even be a bit rushed, but I'd just like to remind all of us that on a day-to-day basis, we have the choice that we have to make. Am I going to follow the old decree, or am I going to follow the Lord? Am I going to follow death? Am I going to follow the old man? Am I going to follow my flesh? Or am I going to follow the life that God has for us? And truthfully, we heard that this morning, didn't we? With Abraham, he had a choice to make. Are you going to obey the Lord? Well, are you going to go with the old decree? Or are you going to go with the new one? Are you going to follow what's right, what's life and blessing? Or are you going to follow what's death and curse? And we're all faced with that decision. But the truth of the matter is that we really know what the answer is. We know what's the right decision. It's whether we make it. And what we need to do on a regular basis is we need to get on our knees and ask the Lord to help us to make the right decision. Because we know it here. And many times we know it here. But sometimes when it gets here, we like to do something different. And we've got to live a surrendered life of saying, Lord, I choose you. I choose you. And truthfully, that's what church camp is all about. I told the teens this, I in class today, I said, really, at church camp, it's really easy to make the right choice because we don't really have two opinions. You're kind of the weirdo if you don't follow the Lord at church camp. You really are. You're the one that's standing out like a sore thumb at camp, man. You know, and generally speaking, we're all there and we're trying to hear from the Lord and follow Him. And really, it's a lot easier. But yet, here we are now, back home, back in our lives, back amongst our friends, back with all of our stuff, and we really are between two opinions, and we just need to follow the Lord. Lord, we thank you so much for all of your many blessings to us. And God, I pray that you'd help us.